Public outrage over the process and amount of compensation resulted in the Christie administration's firing of contractor Hammerman and Gaynor over its operation of Superstorm Sandy homeowner aid programs. This high-profile example of state contracting gone awry is reflected in a new Rutgers University study overlooking oversight. A lack of oversight in the Garden State is placing New Jersey residents and assets at risk. Let's learn more with one of the study authors, Janice Fine, Associate Professor for Labor Studies and Employment Relations at Rutgers. Professor Fine, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
My pleasure.
Professor Fine, what are some other examples of state contracts gone wrong?
Well, what we find is that over the course of the long durée, there's been a number of problems with contract monitoring. Four cases that we highlight in the report include a lack of contract monitoring at the Department of Children and Families Division of Child Protection and Permanency has left children vulnerable to being served by poor quality therapists, a lack of oversight at the Department of Human Services, Department of Developmental Disabilities led to substantial waste of taxpayer money, with very little assurance that services for which the state contracted are being provided as prescribed to the individuals who need them, a lack of oversight at the Department of Corrections Residential Community Release Program led to assaults and deaths in the facilities as well as in the communities surrounding the facilities, and the case of Hurricane Sandy shows that a lack of oversight has led to inappropriate denial of aid to thousands of families and businesses who were devastated by the storm.
To what extent is this due to inadequate and or insufficient staffing to monitor these contracts?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, Dave. What we found is that attrition is a predominant problem, depriving contracting units across the board of practical expertise while simultaneously increasing the burdens on those workers who remained. And just to give you a sense of those numbers, between 2004 and 2011, the size of the state workforce in New Jersey shrank by 36,000, while the total value of contracts held steady, and in some years it increased very substantially. So given that management professionals in both public administration and private sector supply chain management agree that strong contract oversight requires qualified people, for us, this raises serious questions about the state's capacity to make sure its citizens are receiving good quality, safe services and taxpayers' money isn't being wasted.
Is this an indictment of the entire system of contracting out work?
You know, we're agnostic on the question of contracting out. You know, our view is that sometimes contracting can be a tool because it allows the state to tap into special expertise or to carry out activities that would be better delivered in a community setting, or to augment state capacity in a specific area. But to be effective, government has to ensure that contract costing and design takes into account the cost of oversight. I think that of everything we found, it's the stripping out of the sort of street-level managers, the people who make sure that they're in ongoing relationship with the contractors and the line workers who are delivering the service. They're the key, those managers, and there's been enormous attrition. You know, we would go and do interviews and literally walk through empty offices where there'd be vacant carrel after vacant carrel where managers once sat, contract managers, to only find one or two people doing the work of, you know, of what had once been, you know, dozens.
You're painting a picture of a very systemic problem. How would you prioritize remedying it?
First of all, oversight cannot be contracted out. That's, I think, the lesson in a nutshell of what happened with the CGI and the Hurricane Sandy problems. And that, in fact, in situations like Hurricane Sandy, oversight in emergency situations must be stronger because bidding requirements are suspended. So, in particular, we would eliminate the budgetary disincentive to fund administration, ensuring sufficient resources, eliminate the blind spot for third-party contracts, fill in the gaps in oversight, and create capacity and mandate for systemic oversight. The bedrock principle, the bottom line for us is proper oversight is not negotiable. Oversight is a core governmental function and should not be outsourced. The state must rebuild and preserve its oversight capacity, and that the quality of public services is just as important as the cost.
Professor, expand on what you mean by blind spot for third-party contracts.
So one of the things that we did was a very, very deep dive into the regulatory and institutional infrastructure of oversight in the state of New Jersey. And we found a very interesting AG opinion from 1976 that has been governing what the state does on oversight ever since. And it essentially said that there didn't have to be any centralized oversight of any contract that was not being delivered to the state, but in fact to a third party. And what that means is that contracts that are being delivered for our most vulnerable, our developmentally disabled, our elderly, children in crisis, that a service that's being provided by a nonprofit or a for-profit contractor right now is not required to be overseen by a centralized body in the state. It's up to each individual agency to develop their own criteria and their own strategy. And the truth is, what we looked at showed us that individual agencies were failing at that task.
As you mentioned, transparency, I'm wondering if the lack thereof is what's keeping this in part from rising to the level of public awareness, or is it just sexy enough a topic?
No, I think that's a great, great question, Dave. And I'll have to, I have to tell you that, when I describe this study, after people's eyes stop glazing over, and they start to get it, they realize how important this is. But, your question about data transparency, our experience with trying to get the information we needed to do this study was like being in a Kafka-esque game of 20 questions. It was a very, very difficult process to get information. And although there have been attempts at transparency, the truth of the matter is that at least half of all the state of New Jersey's contracts are not easily accessible. The ones that are put on the state website are the ones that the Department of Purchasing is in charge of, DPP. But there's a whole other 50% of all the state's contracts that are not centrally identified. And the truth of the matter is, we have antiquated data systems. My experience ever since I moved to this state and started doing research here is that I'll go to an agency. There's usually one person who knows how to work the system. Everybody's terrified of them. They sort of cower, in the face of this one person. And if anything should happen to that one person, nobody else knows how to work the system. And the systems don't talk to each other between agencies or between the centralized bodies in state government and the agencies that are carrying out the work. Our data systems are horribly behind. And this is an example of where we really could be learning much more from the private sector than we are. What we also learn from the private sector is that, here at Rutgers, we've had a huge growth in interest in supply chain management on the part of our students. And the reason for that is that the private sector understands that with the growth of subcontracting, there's a real need to train managers in how to ensure that there's integration between different providers.
So going from academia to the state at large, and especially the political arena, in this era of soundbites and slogans, smaller government is a mantra that resonates with many. And with that, how can one compel the public to understand the importance of spending money up front for this kind of oversight to get a better bang for the buck in the end?
Well, I think in the context of human services, government oversight of third-party contractors can be a life-or-death question, and that in all contexts, it's crucial to protecting taxpayers' investment in their government. From services that are provided to the most vulnerable among us, like child protection and the treatment of the disabled, to prisons that protect us from harm, states provide a broad array of services that dramatically affect our lives. And because of this, we all have a great interest in how well these things are done. At the same time, because their services are taxpayer-funded, we also have an interest in the cost of their provision. As such, the fact that the state contracts with private companies to provide ever more of these services takes on a heightened sense of urgency. So government can legitimately contract in order to tap into special expertise, but research tells us that to be effective, contracts have to be well-designed and carefully managed. So this is a case where what I find when I talk to people across the state is they have their own stories about what's happened to our public parks, about what's happened to our state forests, about what's happened to, their own experiences with their elders, with their disabled kids, their kids with special needs. A lot of the workers I spoke to, the state workers, they were the most concerned. They themselves felt that they were overloaded and that they couldn't deliver the kind of service they wanted to deliver. These people are very committed, to doing a good job for the people they care about. And they know that right now they've got too much on their plate to be able to do that. And that's why I think that oversight really matters. No matter how you feel about contracting out, the bottom line is that the state has a responsibility. And we have to make sure that responsibility is being able to be carried out with great competence and consideration.
In New Jersey, though, to what extent do you suspect that those proponents of reform come up against vested interests that are protecting the status quo and whatever opaqueness that brings?
I think there's always vested interests. And, you know, I'm a political scientist. I'm a realist. I understand that there's going to always be self-interest at work here. I believe that contractors have as much at stake here as government. I think there's a lot of good contractors out there that really want to do the right thing. And, you know, high-quality contractors need to be at the table. One of the things that we learned in our study is that the best practices are that something called relational contracting, right, where the contract manager and the contractor are in ongoing communication, conversation over how the service is delivered. So in our view, all the stakeholders need to be at the table, the contractor, government, and then the client of the service and the line workers who are providing the service. In our view, everybody wins.
It certainly transcends political stripe, though I'm wondering if we can cross New Jersey's borders. Are there other states that might provide insight or direction by their example?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are states now, for example, in California, there's a whole discussion about how the governor is saying that the state workforce has been decimated and that they need a whole, I just read this the other day after we'd already written the study, that they're also trying to rebuild their managerial core. We looked at a draft bill from Washington State that was raising similar issues about the problems with oversight. I think that states are just beginning now to recognize this.
Professor Fine, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Janice Fine is the Associate Professor of Labor Studies and Employment Relations at Rutgers University.